Today we may think of this city as a beach getaway. In 1900, it certainly had beaches, but it was also an important port and immigration point for the country. But events that year would have a catastrophic impact on the place. And the story is this edition of The American Countryside.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, the only weekend television show that features some of agriculture's biggest names. From custom commentary from John Phipps to the stories of antique iron with Machinery Pete to a list of more than 30 marketing analysts, our weekly program focuses on the topics that matter most to you. We invite you to join us each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture is what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
At the beginning of the 20th century, Galveston, Texas was a very important city in the country.
At the time, Galveston was called Wall Street of the South. It was an extremely important port and major source for immigration. In some places, it was even called an Ellis Island of the West.
Caitlin Ekman is an archivist at the Galveston, Texas History Center. The city's position on the Gulf Coast could make it susceptible to hurricanes, but city leaders had put off building seawalls that might provide some protection. In September of 1900, a storm seemed to be brewing in the Gulf of Mexico.
So the Weather Bureau did have the ability to have some prediction of storms. However, their abilities weren't nearly as accurate as they are today. Essentially, the Weather Bureau at the time believed that the hurricane was going to veer north, closer to Florida and onto the East Coast.
The Cuban Weather Bureau had reports on the storm as well, but lingering tensions from the Spanish-American War made communication between the two bureaus cool at best. When the hurricane made landfall, little to no preparation for the storm had taken place.
Once they saw the storm rolling in, by that point it was too difficult to flee. And because the island was essentially a low, unprotected sandbar, there wasn't very much to stop the winds and the waves from taking their toll.
With the storm already upon them, citizens took shelter on the island wherever possible, often seeking stone structures that perhaps could withstand the storm.
A lot of people took shelter in churches, for example, and a lot of those suffered damage either through walls, to steeples. So even that wasn't necessarily a guarantee, and you had a lot that were built out of wood, and those just got blown away.
It's believed about 36,000 people were in the city when the storm struck. The death toll was staggering. The story of the tragedy and recovery is next time as we travel the countryside. In Galveston, Texas, I'm Andrew McCrae.